Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. In the last couple of weeks, we have been reflecting on the events at the end of John's Gospel after the resurrection of Jesus. We've looked at Thomas's doubts in chapter 20, and in chapter 21, we looked at the disciples' miraculous catch of fish, and then last week, the restoration of Simon Peter. The eagle-eyed among you may have noticed that there is a small section at the end of chapter 21 that we have not yet covered, and it is to this section that we now turn. So we're going to read John 21:18-25, but before I do, I'm just going to give a bit of background. So we've just had the section where Jesus talks to Simon Peter and restores him back into faith and commitment with Jesus. He talks to Simon Peter and asks, "Do you really love me?" And so it's just at the end of that, and then Jesus says this to Simon Peter: "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. So we reread a little bit of that story from last time about Jesus talking to Simon Peter. And in this bit of the passage, Jesus informs Peter of the future that he is going to face if he truly commits to following Jesus. Peter is understandably shocked by Jesus's words, and probably more than just a little bit afraid. "I can't imagine what it must be like to live with the knowledge of how you will die in an excruciating manner." I recently watched a part of a series on Amazon Video where one of the characters gets told exactly that. He gets told that he's going to be killed by someone with a particular tattoo. And the character then becomes obsessed with trying to find out who that person is so that they can try and escape the death that has been foretold about him. I wonder if that thought flashed through Peter's mind of trying to escape the future that Jesus had revealed to him. It would have been so easy for him to choose to back away from Jesus at this point, to decide that the cost of following Jesus was too high for him. But this is not Peter's reaction. As we know from the events in the book of Acts, Peter becomes a key leader in the church, helping to teach and direct people to Jesus. Despite knowing this painful fate, if he followed Jesus, Peter chooses to obey Jesus when he asks him to follow me. We also face that difficult decision to choose to follow Jesus instead of following our own desires and the ways of the world. We may not be given an explicit revelation of what our future may look like, but we are told that we will face opposition because of our allegiance to Christ. At many points in his ministry, Jesus warned his disciples of the persecution they would face. For example, there's this passage in Luke 21, verses 10 to 19 that says this: "Then he said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famine and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute them, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. They're pretty stark warnings, but actually they're warnings for us as well. We may not face the threat of being put to death, but we do face the threat of being rejected or ridiculed by those that we love. If we fully commit to following Christ, we choose to reject the ways of the world and live radically different lives to those around us. And this will draw attention, both positive and, unfortunately, negative. So, like Peter, we also have to make that difficult decision. Will we follow Jesus wholeheartedly, no matter what trials we may face? Jesus stands in front of you and he says to you, "Follow me." What is your response? Peter chose to follow Jesus because he knew that the cost was nothing compared to the treasure of a relationship with Jesus in this life and for all eternity. And we also have this promise, as we can see in Jesus' warning in Luke 21, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. Jesus repeatedly told his followers that it is more important for us to follow him than to strive for the things that we want in this world. We live in a world that is consumed by greed and desire for money and fame, status and material goods and so much more. But Jesus invites us to be free from those burdens and instead to pursue him. And he promises us, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Do we want to commit our lives to God and therefore save our lives? Or do we want to chase after the futile dreams of owning the world and end up forfeiting our lives? When we understand things in this way, it suddenly doesn't seem like such a strange or difficult choice to follow Jesus. So, despite the warning of what Peter would face in the future, he chose to follow Jesus. However, as was characteristic of Peter, after this wonderful display of commitment, Jesus also displayed his worldly thoughts as he turned to the other disciple, who is believed to be John, the author of this gospel, and questioned Jesus, "What about him?" Basically, Peter wants to know what the other disciples will have to face and if it will be similar to his own painful journey. Throughout the gospel, we can see that the disciples competed with each other and they compared themselves to one another constantly. They always seemed to want to make sure that they were considered the best over the others. They had all previously argued about who was the greatest, with James and John even going as far as to ask that Jesus would grant them special positions next to him in heaven. And in response to this constant competing and comparing between them, Jesus rebuked them, saying, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so when Peter once again tries to compare his future to that of John, Jesus is quick to shut down Peter's questioning. He states, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? You must follow me." Or in other words, Jesus tells Peter to mind his own business, focus on his own path, and do not compare and try to compete with someone else's path. For we see Peter had taken his eyes off of Jesus and turned aside to look at someone else. But Jesus reminds Peter to keep his eyes fixed solely on Christ, because it is only when we fix our eyes on Christ that we are able to win the prize. It's so tempting for us to compare ourselves to others. We look at other people's lives and we decide whether we are getting a fair deal in life, whether we are better or worse than others. We spend so much time comparing ourselves to others, wasting our time chasing after what we think we deserve in comparison with others. When we make comparisons, we fall into a trap set by Satan. Because when we compare ourselves, we are no longer following God. We are following our own egos. The ultimate results of comparing ourselves to others is either pride or low self-esteem, neither of which are good or God-given. If we look at someone else's life and we think, well, at least I'm not doing as badly as that, we find ourselves becoming spiritually self-satisfied, believing that we do not need to keep maturing or growing in Christ. We become arrogant and we have this sense that our place as God's people is already set and we don't need to do anything to attempt to grow closer to him because we are content at being better than someone else. This pride is dangerous. But equally dangerous is the problem of comparing ourselves and finding ourselves in a worse place than others. In such a case, we feel shame and discouragement, and this cripples us from developing into the people God wants us to be, as we constantly feel that we are unworthy or inadequate, and so we stop trying to pursue what God has for us. God does not want us to be either prideful and arrogant about our place in the world or crippled by doubt and low self-esteem. Instead, he wants us to be confident in the path that he has chosen for us. And this is because God equips us for the path that we are to follow. He does not equip us to walk someone else's path. Jesus had called and therefore equipped Simon Peter to be a shepherd to his people. Peter was a man of action who was called to a leadership role and so was equipped for that role. He had not called or equipped him to follow the path that John had been called to, as one who would, for example, write the gospel account of John. When we look at other people's lives and desire to have their life instead of our own, we are denying God's knowledge of what is best and right for each of his children. We are stating that we know better than God what is right for our own lives. But God knows what we are capable of bearing. He knows what we are equipped to do because he is equipping us. And so we need to have confidence and trust in the path that God has put us on instead of desiring another way. So when we consider our own path, we have two questions facing us. Firstly, will we choose to follow Jesus, regardless of what trials we may face? And secondly, will we trust God will equip us for the path that he has chosen for us to, as individuals, to walk? So take a moment now to think about this coming week or even this coming month or even year? Are you prepared to follow God, whatever He asks you to do? Can you take this time to commit to say yes when Jesus turns to you and says, follow me? And secondly, will you keep your eyes fixed on Him and trust that He is in control of your path and He will equip you for your walk of faith? Do not look at how other people are living their lives. Instead, look at God and give Him the steering wheel to your life. Do not be a backseat driver, but let Him take over completely. Because trust me, He is a much better driver of our lives than we could ever be. Amen.